Fresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Happy birthday to me. Happy birthday to me. Happy birthday. It's my birthday. Happy birthday to me. Oh, good day, Brevard County. We are thankful that you have tuned into the Refresh Radio program on this fine Wednesday morning. And we are thankful that you are a part of this program and that we get to spend a half hour with you. And today is a day of celebration. It's my birthday, and I'll smile if I want to. So we want to say thank you today to the folks of Wyrick Air, 321-632-9538 in Rockledge, Florida, 321-632-9538. The folks at Wyrick Air have been providing professional sales, service, and repairs in the air conditioning, heating, and electrical fields for over 40 years. I don't do this type of work in residential and commercial settings, and provide emergency service when necessary, and they can help solve your electrical, electrical challenges. How about that? We had an electrical challenge here a couple of weeks ago, and they came out and found our problem and solved it, and we were very, very thankful. They strive to provide you with the best service possible at an affordable price. So if you find yourself in need of their services, give them a call at 321-632-9538, 321-632-9538, and tell them you heard about them on the Refresh Radio program. So thank you for tuning in to WMIE 91.5 FM, today's Modern Worship. And we pray that you will be blessed during this time. We have resumed our Sunday morning services with the appropriate social distancing guidelines and things like that. So this last weekend we opened spent Saturday preparing the facility, and then reconfigured the seats to allow the appropriate distancing measures between family units, and we still have overflow seating if we go beyond our 25% or 50%, whatever it is this week, that we will be able to utilize that. So we want to invite you to Merritt Assembly of God. If you don't have a church home, maybe you just, during this crisis, you found the program because you had more time at home, or your commute time was different, or whatever it might be. We'd like to invite you to Merritt Assembly of God, 165 North Grove Street, Merritt Island, Florida, 32953, and have you come and attend our services and see if maybe God isn't leading you to be a part of the phenomenal ministry. We got some exciting things that are in the works, and we are really excited about what God is doing. So we would love to see you. Sunday morning, Sunday school is at 9:30. Worship is at 10:30. And we welcome you to come and be a part of those things. So Sunday morning, Sunday school 9:30, Sunday morning at 10:30, and then Wednesday nights we will be returning to our live small group format this coming Wednesday night at 7 p.m. So getting closer and closer to being back to normal, for which we are very, very, very thankful. We are in Proverbs chapter 6. We're going through this particular proverb. I think I said Psalms, but we're Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 6, first day with my new mouth. and we're looking at things that that God can deliver us from. And so he delivers us from debt. We talked about that. He delivers us from sloth and poverty. And now we are going, he delivers us from being a worthless and wicked person. That's a great thing to be delivered from. And today we are going to be looking at things, that, six things that God wants to deliver us from because he hates them. He hates them. That means if God hates them, they have a detrimental effect on we his people. So verse number 16, these words will sound very, very familiar. These six things the Lord hates. Yes, seven are an abomination to him. A proud look. A lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that are swift in running to evil, a false witness who speaks lies, and one who sows discord among brethren. So the first thing that I will tell you is that you will notice that all of these things violate the law of love. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and the second is like unto it. Love your neighbor as yourself. And so all of these things that are listed here, they're not the exhaustive list, but they are a sampling, if you will, of things that violate the law of love. It says these six things the Lord hates. Doesn't just make him not happy. He hates these things. These are considered an enemy of the kingdom of God. And so you cannot look at this list and stretch it in any sort of contorted manner to say, well, God is okay with this. He will endorse this. He will support it. You can't manipulate the word in any form or fashion to be able to come up with an authentic viewpoint where that opinion is justified. God hates these things. The second description, it says, yes, seven are an abomination to him. And that word abomination means morally disgusting to him. I had a professor in Bible college, and he said, these things turn God's stomach. Another description of this is these things God considers to be idolatry. If we participate in these things, then we have crossed again one of those commandments, one of the Ten Commandments, and we have placed something else on the throne where God alone is intended to sit. So let's look at these six to seven things. There are seven listed. Two of them, excuse me, are mentioned twice. So you've got six distinct items, although it is seven different manifestations here. The first one is a proud look. I say this, God hates pride in every form, in every variety. He hates it. Pride is one of those very sneaky things. It is an attribute of the devil. It is a consumption with me, 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 which is really bad because I started off this program singing happy birthday to me. I promise I won't do that for another year. A proud look is completely fixated on itself. And so when you go and you read about the fall of Lucifer, you find that he's like, I will ascend. I will be like the Most High. He was all concerned about him, not whether he was fulfilling the position that God had given him, not whether he was going to please God. There was no consideration of that at all. God hates pride. He hates pride outside of the church. He hates pride inside of the church. He hates pride in people who've never heard about Jesus. He hates pride in preachers. He hates pride that anybody has. He does not approve of, condone, or bless pride. The scripture says God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Submit to God and resist the devil, and he will flee from you. I don't know about you, but I am blessed so much more by what God is able to do on my behalf than what I could do without God's help. You don't ever want to be in a position where you find yourself opposing God. I've made this statement. If you ever find yourself disagreeing with God, if you win the argument, you lose. But if you lose the argument where you say, you know what, God, you're right, I'm wrong, then you win the argument, or you win the contest, because now you have set yourself up for the blessing instead of the correction. God does not want us to be enveloped by pride. He wants to deliver us from pride. And like I say, pride is one of those things that can have many different manifestations. We can be overtly proud, or you might have heard of people who have an inferiority complex. That manifests in the spiritual way in something like this. Well, God could never use me. Well, what that is saying, if you've ever said that, is that I am such a lower level of God's premier creation that it is impossible for the omnipotent God to do anything good through me. That is pride. You're just looking at it through an inverted lens. Another manifestation that I've heard that people said is they look at the situation and they say, I've just sinned too much. I can't possibly be forgiven. I've just sinned too much. Well, that is pride in your sin more than the pride or the power that's available in the blood of Jesus Christ. So we cannot allow pride in what we've accomplished or our circumstances, whether it's overt or inverted, we cannot afford to allow pride to disqualify us from the blessings that God has for us. The second thing, we've talked about this before when we were going through the Ten Commandments, is a lying tongue. And this is the one that is duplicated. It is also down in verse number 19. And it says a lying tongue in verse 17. It says a false witness who speaks lies. That's in verse number 19. Can I tell you, it's time that we remember that God hates lying. First of all, lying is never something that originated in the heart of God. Speaking deception, the Bible says that the devil is the father of lies. It is his native tongue. When he speaks deceitfully or deceptively, he's speaking his native language. So we cannot afford to speak the language of the kingdom of darkness. If we're going to say yes to being adopted into the household of faith in the kingdom of God, it creates a manifestation, a new condition in our heart where there is forgiveness and there is love, there's compassion and mercy and grace and wisdom and truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. And so it's not, we're not just talking about behavior here. We're talking about a spiritual condition that causes us to be on the wrong side of God's decreed desire for us. A lying tongue. You know, in our household, lying, when the kids were growing up, lying was always just automatically go to the most elevated grade of correction. It was do not pass go, do not collect $200. I mean, they're not everything that they ever did deserved the same level of correction. You know, you spilled your milk on the brand new carpet or whatever. That's disappointing, but it was never, you know, high crimes and misdemeanors, if you will. It never rose to that level. But when it came to lying, we wanted our kids to understand that is very, very serious. It is not something to be toyed with. It is not something to be experimented with. It is something to be avoided. And we always explained it to our kids like this. The Bible says that all liars will have their part in the lake of fire. And so, because we do not want you to end up in an eternity without Jesus, we do not want you lying. We want you to have a heart that is full of truth, and out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So we want you to be a messenger of truth. We want you to speak the truth in love. And so we did that. We've talked, you know, on the program here before, and I've preached it for years, and that is that if you do a study on deceit, on lying, you're going to find that it is another one of those complex issues that can show up in many different ways. Lying is not just the words that come out of your mouth. Lying is also a way in which you treat somebody, and specifically Jacob and Laban. Jacob abandoned Laban, went off and left him, didn't allow him to say goodbye to his daughters or his grandchildren or anything like that. And the New International Version said, and Jacob deceived Laban. And when Laban confronted him, he said, why have you deceived me? It is a form of deceit. A false witness who speaks lies. This would be a court matter, a legal proceeding, and there could be multiple reasons why people did it. One, they could be guilty and they wanted to point the finger at somebody else. Second, there could be a financial gain inside of that. Second is the person just dislikes the other person so much that they want to fabricate a story just to get them in trouble. Okay, so almost every parent that I know trains their children, or let me rephrase that, almost every parent I know wants their children to be people who tell the truth. Many times the training is in conflict or contradicts the verbal commands. And the biggest example that I have of that is you tell your kids not to lie, you correct them if they lie. If they lie to you, you know, it's kind of like Congress. If they lie when you tell them to lie, then it's okay. But if they lie to you, then it's an entirely different matter. It's kind of like Congress. You know, Congress can lie to you every time that there's an election that comes up. Candidates of whatever office will promise you the moon and deliver you a piece of sand. And that's supposed to be tolerated. But if they deem you to have lied to them, oh my goodness, they're going to bring the house down on you. How dare you lie to us? It's okay that we lie to you, but how dare you lie to us? Okay? And I will tell you, I believe that lying, deceit, deception is becoming a much bigger problem as my life goes on than it was when I was a kid. I mean, I remember going to school and, man, you treated the teachers with such respect. I mean, I can remember some teachers. One of the teachers, I mean, just the thought of graduating from one class to the next class and not having her as my teacher brought me to tears one year. I mean, I just adored that woman as a teacher. And then there was another teacher, same school, and she taught us about self-control. There was another teacher in that school that when she taught, I mean, you were in fear and trembling. You just did not want to cross this teacher. It was a noble and honorable profession. And as a result of that, there wasn't any lying, not much lying anyway, that went on. Now, lying is not only something that is done. There's people who have perfected the art. They wouldn't know the truth if it slapped them upside of the face. That's a problem. You see, the Bible doesn't just identify deceit like we see here, as a form of idolatry. It is a spiritual problem. It is not just a practice to be done away with. It's a problem with the spirit. Every time you see one of these things, it is shouting out to you. You know, if you see it manifesting in your life, you know that it is screaming out to you. The Holy Spirit is trying to get your attention. God hates this. God hates this. He loves you. He hates this. He wants you to repent so he can forgive you of that, change your heart, and provide you with a better way of life. Living with truth is way better than living a lifestyle of deceit. If we're bound with pride, we're constantly looking either at other people or looking down on ourselves. If we are lying, we don't even consider that person worth telling the truth. And the thing is, when you've done that, you've got to remember every lie you've told, because pretty soon your sin will find you out. You know, the thing, sometimes watching, you know, the political drama that takes place is mind-numbing. Because it's like people don't even have any awareness that there's video archives of the lies that they've told, and now they're exposed, and they say, well, I never said that. I never did that. And then there's people who take things that have said, and then they manufacture it into something that wasn't said, and that is deceitful. How about we get back to living the way that God wants us to live and say, God, I'm going to love my neighbor. I'm going to tell my neighbor the truth. And watch God exalt. We think that we have got to tear another person down in order for us to get ahead. That's the mindset of a fallen world. A forgiven world says, I want to live the way that God has commanded me to live. And he says that in due season, he will lift me up. And I will tell you, having a person that will tell you the truth is so refreshing. It is so refreshing. I'm not talking about a person who would just give you the answer that you want to hear. through the years, I've come to ask myself this question. Are they telling me the truth, or are they telling me what I want to hear? So whenever I do some premarital, pastoral counseling, I tell them. And I think we have four or five sessions, you know, that go on for various lengths of time, and there's homework involved and all of that. So, you know, if somebody wants me to do a wedding, they need to give me some notice, because we got things to go through, because you might think you know everything that's going to happen with a marriage. I still don't know everything that's going to happen with a marriage. But I tell you what, I want them to be more prepared than what I was. You know, I was just plumb dumb. I just didn't understand a lot of things. And you can save yourself a whole lot of heartache if you prepare yourself. But I tell them right in the very first session, it's like, now, there are no right answers and there are no wrong answers. But if when you are answering these questions, you don't answer them and tell the truth, if you give me the answer that you think I want to hear instead of the answer that is true, then I'm not going to be able to help you, and you're wasting my time, and you're wasting your time, and you're wasting your potential spouse's time. You don't want to do that. I think that if we realize that God has the viewpoint, this was the thing for me that when I came in, it's like, you know, I know we've covered this passage before, but when you look at it, it's an abomination. God considers a lying tongue and a false witness who speaks lies, he considers those a form of idolatry. Let's love our neighbor as ourself to the point that we say, you know what? I would want somebody to tell me the truth. I'm going to tell them the truth. And I will tell you, sometimes telling the truth is hard. But I'll tell you what's even harder, and that is lying to someone else. Sin in any form. The devil says, this is the easy way out. I will tell you that it's the more complicated route. It is the more painful route, and you don't want to do that. Let's get back to doing life the way that God wants us to. Let's get rid of pride. Let's get rid of a lying tongue. Let's not be a false witness who speaks lies. Let's be a messenger of the Lord Jesus Christ, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and let's go out speaking the truth in love. Hey, I'm going to get about celebrating my birthday, and I pray that you'll have a great day, and we'll see you tomorrow right here on the Refresh Radio Program.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.